In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
To rightly understand the end of all things, look to the death of Jesus, the abomination of desolation lifted up in the place he himself makes holy, and in the middle of all history. The agony of the Holy Cross reveals the mysteries hidden before all ages. Jesus is lifted up, and the sacrifices which pointed to him are brought to desolation, as the temple which was his type lies in ruin and is no more. He's lifted up, and men abhor that beaten, bruised, and bloody man. They turn their eyes and flee as the false prophets shut their mouths. The cross is the divine revelation that God loves sinners and reconciles himself to them in the suffering and death of his Son. This bloody crucified man is the great and final sacrifice offered up once for all, given by God for your redemption and cleansing. He who knew no sin became sin, became an abomination for you. As cursed is everyone hanged upon a tree. There is no divine mystery that is not found in the cross. And whatever isn't found in the death of Jesus is pure sham and deceit. But what the world considers an abomination is indeed the judgment seat and throne of the eternal God. Charged with unholiness and blasphemy, the one hanging upon the cross reveals himself to be the Holy One of God, the Holy One of Israel, the one enthroned between the cherubim and carried on high by the seraphim, who hears the prayers of his people, who makes reconciliation and redemption between man and God. For in the flesh of the crucified dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The prophet Job asks a question. Who can bring the clean out of an unclean? Nobody, he says. And he's absolutely right. Nobody can do this. Nobody but Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, judged, suffering, and dying for all that is abominable in you, is able to bring the clean out of an unclean. He's judged for the despair you cause and misery you bring by your false and hateful words. He's judged because you trust in your own works and merits. Listening to the false prophets, thinking you can earn heaven by what you do, twisting what's given in the Holy Scriptures, mocking what's given in the Holy Sacraments, is condemned in his body. Jesus is judged because you insist on your own way that leads to death and hell. He's judged because you flee from him, because you show no mercy to your neighbor, because everything within you is false, evil, and sinful. You must not be as Lot's wife. Called out of this dying world, don't look back. Don't look back to the cares and concerns of this life, to your stuff. Can they really save you? You've been redeemed and rescued, set free from the idols of your heart. So what exactly is there to look back at? What does it profit you to gain the whole world but lose your soul? Repent. Jesus, made an abomination, burdened with your sin and guilt, does indeed bring a clean thing out of an unclean. He bleeds for your unbelief and idolatry. He dies the death that's rightfully yours. He's abominable to make you God's child. His great and final sacrifice completes the temple and its sacrifices. There is no more which you must do. And yet we still struggle with weak, fallen flesh. We still struggle even as the end draws nigh. Where then shall you flee? Certainly not to the imaginings of your own heart, to your own works, or to whatever God you've made for yourself. Flee rather to the mountain of the Lord, where he forgives your sins, giving you his kingdom. Flee to the house of the Lord, where he fills you with his good gifts and spirit. To the Lord's field, where he grafts you by grace onto himself, the true and living vine, and as he did once again this morning. For what else strengthens you but the food which is Jesus' own crucified and risen body? What else fortifies you against the deceptions and false allurements of the devil but the truth that Jesus is and gives in his own blood, poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sins? What else rescues you from the enticements of your flesh and self-belief than the invigorating and revitalizing flesh and blood of your Lord Jesus Christ? Simply put, nothing. And even as Jesus has done once again this morning, taking two more and by the blood of his cross, rending them asunder from the unbelieving world, making them clean by the forgiveness of their sins as they are grafted into his wounds, let this also be a warning to all the baptized. If the Lord should return suddenly and your faith be found barren, lazy, and dead, you will face the great tribulation of damnation. You will be lost and judged as was Lot's wife. As Jesus has cleansed these two sisters by his mercy, so it is only by his mercy that he does indeed delay his coming, that all his elect be gathered in holy baptism. Repent and be ready. Do not fear the lies of the devil, the heretics, pagans, and hypocrites. Heed your shepherd's voice and know where he is to be found. And it isn't in the wilderness of heresy and blasphemy or in the inner room of your imagination. No. He's in his church, in his word and holy sacraments. Unless Jesus be found upon the cross and in his church, in his body and blood, don't believe it. Symbol of the world's redemption and the very tree of life, the cross makes the ordinary extraordinary. You who are despised, earthly and common, become in Jesus and his death majestic, heavenly and holy. What's repulsive becomes magnetic as the Son of Man is lifted up and draws all men unto himself, even you. The one whom the world sees as an abomination, his praises you chant with the angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of Sabaoth." For the glory that fills heaven and earth is revealed in the Holy Cross. And from the cross, his glory is poured out upon you in the Holy Sacraments. By his holy passion and cross, by the fruit from his tree, Jesus does indeed bring a clean thing out of an unclean. He brings you out of death and into life in his kingdom. And if you should endure in this life until his return, you will be caught up in the air to meet him. Gone will be all trials and tribulation, all sorrow, conflict, and dread. You shall be with Jesus. And even if you sleep in the grave on that day, you shall be awakened. You shall be with Jesus. But whether dead or alive, when Jesus comes, your body will be transformed in the twinkling of an eye and glorified like unto his glorious and risen body. The effects of sin shall wither like a flower, and death shall flee like a shadow. Don't be afraid. Jesus, who died and rose again, is coming back to raise you from the grave. What then is there to fear? Yes, your days in this life are few and full of trouble, but you belong to Jesus the crucified. He makes you clean by his abominable yet life-giving cross. Have no fear of the end or whatever else troubles you in this life. Jesus lives. And now he calls you to gather at the holy place of his passion, to feed upon him, not as a vulture picking at a corpse, but as an attendant at the wedding, to feed upon him as an invited guest. He ties himself for you to the bread and wine. Eat the risen and living body and blood of Jesus Christ, your God and brother. His promise will not fail and cannot lie. He is your meat and drink indeed. As you live in these last days of turmoil, danger, and pain, gather where the living corpse is. Gather at the altar that Jesus should renew your youth like that of an eagle. You will run and not be weary, walk and not grow faint, be laid to rest in this body of sorrow and not die. By that crucified yet living abominable man, by the flesh and blood of his cross, you shall stand. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.